الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على النبي الكريم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: والعرش والكرسي حق، وهو مستغن عن العرش وما دونه، محيط بكل شيء وفوقه، وقد أعجز عن الإحاطة خلقه. The author said, the arsh and the kursi are real. Allah is in no need of the arsh and that is underneath it. He knows about everything and is above everything in status. He disabled his creation from having an encompassing knowledge. شرح ذلك أنه يجب الإيمان بالعرش والكرسي لأن الله نص عليهما في القرآن. It is an obligation to believe in Al-Arsh, the existence of Al-Arsh that is, and the existence of Al-Kursi. Because Allah تبارك وتعالى mentioned their existence in Al-Quran. والعرش معناه السرير، سرير له أربعة قوائم، وهو أعظم الأجسام من حيث الحجم والمساحة. العرش is a body that has four legs. It is so huge, very big. It is the biggest creation in size. أما الكرسي فهو تحته وهو بمثابة ما يضع راكب السرير قدمه عليه. As for الكرسي فهو أصغر من العرش بكثير. As for الكرسي it is a body which is underneath العرش. In comparison to Al-Arsh, its position is like the position of the stool that one uses to sit or on something which is high. So the position of Al-Kursi to Al-Arsh is like the position of the stool to the high bed or seat or the like. And so he is much smaller than Al-Arsh. It is much smaller than Al-Arsh. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ الطَّحَاوِيُّ وصف العرش، حقيقة العرش يعني حقيقة وصفه، تمام وصفه، ولا الكرسي، لأنه يكفي ما ذكرناه للإيمان بهما. أبو جعفر لأنه يكفي ما ذكره للإيمان بهما. أبو جعفر did not give details about the description of العرش or الكرسي. Because to have the proper belief in Al-Arsh and Al-Kursi, it is enough to know what he mentioned, that they exist, they are above, we believe in that. This is enough. Huge bodies, this is enough. فالواجب الإيمان بأنهما جرمان من الأجرام العلوية. So it is an obligation to believe that there are two bodies among the bodies that exist up there. وروي عن بعض السلف أنه فسر الكرسي بالعلم في قوله تعالى وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، قال أي وسع علمه، وهذا لا يلتفت إليه لأن لغة العرب لا يعرف فيها إطلاق الكرسي على العلم، والقرآن نزل بلغة العرب لا بغيرها. It is narrated from one of the Salaf, it does not have to be confirmed, but it is narrated from one of the Salaf that he interpreted Al-Kursi to mean the knowledge. That is in the verse, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So instead of interpreting the verse as it appears that it means Al-Kursi is wider than the heavens and the earth, he said that Al-Kursi means the knowledge, and thus the meaning of the verse would be his knowledge encompasses the heavens and the earth. This interpretation is not a valid one. It is not a valid one because it is not known in the Arabic language to use the term kursi to mean the knowledge. This is not something used in the Arabic language. And Al-Quran is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Arabic language. So it is not valid to interpret it in what does not comply with this language. وقوله وهو مستغن عن العرش وما دونه نفي لإثبات الحاجة للتمكن في المكان والتحيز في الجهة ونحو ذلك من علامات الحدوث، لأن what Abu Ja'far said that Allah is not in need nor to Al-Arsh, neither to Al-Arsh nor to anything underneath it, or nor to anything other than it, then this is a sign from Abu Ja'far that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is clear from places and is clear from is clear of places and clear of directions. لأنه يقول الله مستغن عن العرش وعن غيره، إذن هو مستغن عن المكان سبحانه. Because he says that Allah does not need, is not in need to Al-Arsh nor to anything else. Thus, Allah is not in need to the place. Subhanahu. He is not in need to the directions. وَمُسْتَغْنٍ عَنْ كُلْ مَا كَانَ عَنْ كُلْ مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. And Allah is does not need anything among the creation. فالله تعالى ليس محمولا بالعرش كما يقول المجسمة. So Allah is not carried by العرش like these people who liken Allah to the creation, say like the Mujassima, say like the Wahhabis, say. وسبق أن ذكرنا الأدلة القطعية الدالة على استحالة ذلك. We mentioned before the definite proofs that clear Allah تبارك وتعالى of that. وليس في قول الله تبارك وتعالى الرحمن على العرش استوى حجة للمشبهة. The fifth verse of Surah Taha, الرحمن على العرش استوى, is not a proof for المشبهة, for the ill saying that Allah تبارك وتعالى sits on the throne or is above the throne with a distance. لأن الله ذكر هذه الآية تمدحا. This verse is mentioned in Al-Quran to praise Allah. وذكر أن شخص قاعد في مكان في حق المخلوق ليس مدحا, فكيف في حق الخالق؟ فلو فسرت الآية بأن المراد باستوى استقر لما كان فيها مدح لله تعالى. This verse is mentioned in Al-Quran to praise Allah. It contains the meaning of praising Allah تبارك وتعالى. If it is interpreted as these people say to mean sitting, for example, then it would not contain any praise to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because one is not praised by saying he's sitting in that place or on that thing. Hatta fi haqqi al-makhluq استوى لا تستعمل, إذا استعملت للمدح لا تستعمل بمعنى جلسة. Even in reference to the creature, if the verb استوى is used to praise the creature, it would not have the meaning of sitting. So how about Allah تبارك وتعالى? It cannot be interpreted to mean sit or establish or the like. قد استوى بشر على العراق من غير سيف ودم مهراق. ايش معناه قعد بشر في العراق؟ اين المدح في هذا؟ وانما يكون في هذا مدح اذا فسر استوى بقهر, صار العراق في يده, هنا يكون في هذا مدح لبشر بن مروان. There is a famous Arabic verse of poetry that says قد استوى بشر على العراق من غير سيف ودم مهراق. In it, the term استوى is attributed to a person called Bishr, the son of Marwan. And then this verb istawa is شو يعني موجه إلى يقع على العراق. And this verb استوى. I don't know how to say it in English. كيف بدي أقول إنه يقع على العواق أو الفعل؟ This verb استوى is used and applied to the area of العواق. So what would it mean? This poet was praising this man who governed Al-Iraq without shedding any blood, any drop of blood. So he praised him by that. To do that, he used the term istawa ala al-Iraqi. So he used the verb istawa applied to al-Iraq. What do you think that would mean? That Bishr like sat in al-Iraq? In it. He sat in al-Iraq, yani he sat down. Is this praising him? No. It has to have the meaning of control, subjugating, or the like, to be praising him. If this is the case with the creature, so how would the case be with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? First, it does not befit Allah to attribute him with sitting. Second, the term istawa, the verb istawa, itself, when it is used to praise someone, it would not be used in the meaning of sitting because it does not contain any praise in that. And we all know that this verse is mentioned in Al-Quran to praise Allah. So it has to have a meaning different than sitting. المعنى اللائق هنا القهر. The suitable meaning here is subjugating. لأن القهر هو أشرف معاني الاستواء. Because subjugating is the meaning is the meaning that reflects the highest status among the meanings of the term istawa. وإنما خص العرش بالذكر لتشريفه. Why العرش then was mentioned in particular? To show the status, the honor of العرش, that it is an honored thing. لأن هناك أشياء, لأن إظهار شرف الشيء يكون أحيانا بإضافته إلى من له الشرف والعظمة. Because to show that something is honored, you attribute it sometimes to the one that is attributed with honor and with high status. كما في قوله تعالى ناقة الله إخبارا عن ناقة صالح. كل النوق ملك لله إنما أضيفت إلى الله لإظهار شرفها على غيرها من حيث كونها آية عظيمة. Like the saying of Allah ناقة صالح, referring ناقة الله, referring to the female camel, that was among the miracles of Prophet Salih. The camel was attributed to Allah. Although all the camels are owned by Allah, why this camel in particular was attributed to Allah? To show its status. It is a great miracle. Likewise, when Al-Arsh is specified or attributed to Allah, this is to show the high status of Al-Arsh. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ فَثُمَّ في هذه الآية لا يراد منها الترتيب في الوقوع ليس معنى الآية الله خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم بعد ذلك حدث له الاستواء على العرش إنما معنى ثم إنما استعملت ثم هنا للترتيب في الإخبار في الحقيقة هي بمعنى الواو الله خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام واستوى على العرش لكن استعملت ثم للإخبار للترتيب في الإخبار أولا يقع الخبر بأن الله هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم يقع الخبر باستواء الله تبارك وتعالى على العرش فلا حجة للمشبهة في ذلك بعدين ايش يعني يريدون ان يقولوا ان الله ما كان مستويا على العرش ثم استوى يعني على زعمهم حدثت له صفة كمال لم تكن له اغبياء المشبهة اغبياء Allah Ta'ala, here let me draw your attention to something. I will try it. It's related to the Arabic language. So I will try to explain it because there is a chance that one among al-mushabbiha would use this verse to trick some people one day. Allah Ta'ala said in the 54th verse of Surah Al-A'raf, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ Someone might say that this verse means Allah تبارك وتعالى is the one, is your Lord, the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and after that he became attributed with al-istiwa ala al-arsh. Someone who likens Allah to the creation would say, and after that he sat on al-arsh, or he established himself on al-arsh. We already explained that it is impossible to attribute Allah with sitting or establishing. This is not the proper interpretation. Added to that, we say that the term thumma used in this verse does not always mean after that. Sometimes it means And like here, so the true meaning is the verse of the verse that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, and Allah is attributed, that is, eternally with al-istiwa ala al-arsh. So this does not mean that something occurred to Allah. Anyway, the way these people who liken Allah to the creation interpret this verse means attributing imperfection to Allah. Why? Because they say Allah did not sit before that on al-arsh. Afterwards, He sat on al-arsh. So for them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was not attributed with this attribute, which they consider it an attribute of perfection. And afterwards, He became attributed with this attribute, which is clearly nonsense. Is clearly nonsense. So remember, keep this in mind, this term thumma, just as it can bear the meaning of after in Arabic, it can bear the meaning of and also. Here it does not mean after, it means and. كما في قول الله تعالى ثم الله شهيد على ما يفعلون مع أن شهادة الله اطلاع الله علم الله أزلي لكن هنا ثم لترتيب الإخبار ليس معناه بعد أن يفعلوا يعلم الله like this term ثم means and in this verse like in the 46th verse of Surah Yunus ثُمَّ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ as you can notice in this verse the term ثُمَّ is used it is not valid here to say that this verse means then Allah becomes knowledgeable of what they know of what they do it is not valid to say that the term summa means after it is not valid to interpret the verse to mean after that Allah becomes knowledgeable about what they do that is after they do what they do Allah becomes knowledgeable of it rather Thumma here has to be interpreted to mean and. So the verse would mean and Allah knows eternally whatever they do. So this is a proof from Al-Quran if you need to refer to it any day that the term Thumma is used with the meaning of and and not with the meaning of after. وقال الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه محيط بكل شيء وفوقه أن الله تبارك وتعالى محيط بكل شيء بالعلم وفوق كل شيء بالغلبة والسلطان وكل شيء ملكه سبحانه وتعالى وتحت علمه وقدرته يعني يريد أن الله محيط بكل شيء علما وسلطانا وكل شيء تحت علمه وتحت قدرته سبحانه فالفوقية المرادة هنا هي فوقية القهر والغلبة كما هو ظاهر من كلامه As it is clear from the statement of الطحاوي he also mentioned in the aforementioned statement that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the knowledge of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala encompasses everything, and that His power is related to everything. So nothing is not known. Everything is known to Allah, and everything is under the power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The will and the power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is attributed with the high status. وَهَذَا هُوَ مَعْنَى الْعُلُوْ الَّذِي يَلِيقُ أَنْ يُوصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And this is the... And this is the type of ulu. This is the type of ulu that befits Allah. The term ulu in Arabic can mean above with distance, and it can mean above with status. When we use the term ulu in reference to Allah, then we are referring to which of the two meanings? To the meaning of the high status, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُرَادُ بِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. الْمُرَادُ الَّذِي هُوَ أَعْلَى مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. And this is what is meant by the verse, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, which is the first verse in Surah Al-A'la. Al-A'la in this verse means the one that has the highest status. Subhanahu. أَمَّا عُلُوُّ الْجِهَ فَمُسْتَحِيلٌ عَلَيْهِ كَمَا هُوَ مَعْرُوفٌ كَمَا تَقَرَّرْ. As for the height in distance, it is impossible to attribute that to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It does not befit Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْخَلْقِ. Because this is among the attributes of the creation. وَكَيْفَ يَصِحُّ أَنْ يُوصَفَ الْقَدِيمِ بِصِفَاتِ الْحَادِثِ. لَا يَصِحُّ. And how would it be permissible, mentally permissible, for the one who does not have a beginning to be attributed with the attributes of those who have a beginning for their existence? It is invalid. وأما ما يقوله بعض الناس وبعض الوهابية في هذه الأيام إن الله فوق العرش حيث لا مكان, فهذا لا ينجيهم من الوقوع في تشبيه الله بمخلوقاته. As what some Wahhabis nowadays say, that Allah exists above العرش where there is no place. Don't they say that, some of them? Yeah, some of them, they say that. This does not save them from falling into likening Allah to the creation. لِأَنَّ فَوْقِيَّةَ الْمَسَافَةِ تَسْتَلْزِمُ الْحَجْمِ وَالشَّكِلِ. Because being above with a distance necessitates that what is above with a distance would be attributed with volume, shape, limits, and the like. And these are the attributes of the creation. ثُمَّ هُمْ كَاذِبُونَ فِي قَوْلِهِمْ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ لَا مَكَانَ. Moreover, they are lying in saying that there is no place above Al-Arsh. يشهد على كذبهم حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام shows that they are lying. أليس جاء في الحديث إن الله كتب في كتاب فهو عنده فوق العرش إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي. البخاري رواه. It is narrated in the hadith of the Prophet related by Al-Bukhari that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah wrote, that is Allah ordered to be written on a tablet which is above Al-Arsh, in which it is written, Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, which means إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي يعني إن رحمتي غلبت غضبي يعني مظاهر الرحمة أكثر من مظاهر الغضب, which means the signs of my mercy are more than the signs of my torture. فهذا الحديث يبين أنه يوجد فوق العرش مكان حيث هذا الكتاب. So this hadith clearly cites that this book, this tablet is above العرش. So how would they say there is no place above العرش? Anyway, you remember what we defined, what is the definition of the place. It's the space that can be occupied, that is occupied with a volume. So whenever a volume occupies a space, then this is what? A place. أنتم تذكرون إيش هو معنى المكان في كل حال. قلنا هو المكان والفراغ الذي يملأه الجسم. فحيثما ملأ الجسم فراغا فهذا الفراغ يكون مكانا للجسم. بس إن الوهابية عقولهم أضيق من أن إذا قلت لهم هذا الكلام قد لا يفهمون. لذلك تورد لهم حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ينقطعون. But the Wahhabis have narrow minds. So if you talk with them about the definition of the place, etc., they might not understand. So it is easier, much easier, to mention the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in which it is mentioned explicitly that this tablet is above Al-Arsh. So how would they say and claim that there is no place above Al-Arsh? وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنده أي مشرف عنده. And the term عنده used in the hadith is to reflect that this tablet is honored by Allah تبارك وتعالى. كما في قول الله تعالى حكاية عن آسيا زوجة فرعون, رب ابني لي عندك بيتا في الجنة, معناه بيتا له منزل له شرف. هذا لبيان شرف الجنة في المكان. ابن لي بيتا في المكان المشرف عندك وهو الجنة. طيب. وقول الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه وقد أعجز عن الإحاطة خلقه معناه أنه لا أحد من الخلق يحيط بكل المخلوقات علما، وهذا سبق أن أوضحناه، إنما الذي يحيط بكل المخلوقات علما هو الله سبحانه. And the statement of al-Tahawi that was translated by saying he disabled his creation from having an encompassing knowledge means that no one among the creation has the knowledge that encompasses all the creations. No one. Allah did not give that to any creature. Rather, Allah is the one who is attributed with that. And we explained that in the previous session, as you remember. قلنا إذا كان الملائكة لا يعلم أحد من المخلوقات عددهم فكيف بسائر الخلق. He said, if the angels, there is no one among the creatures who know their number. So how about the other types of creation? إلى هنا واضح. Up till here, is it clear? Shaali.
Can we use where the Wahhabis object to us when we say that istiwa means qahara? And they say, well, this isn't befitting because it entails that Allah gained this attribute or gained this supremacy over the control of the arsh. Can we use that to show them that they're doing the same thing when they're saying that Allah then gained the rising above the arsh?
Yeah, but they don't care. They don't care, these people. They don't care. They don't have mind. They are crazy. Don't they say Allah descends? So, don't they say Allah speaks one word after another? One word after another, one word. So they don't care about that. They don't care. This is what they say. They say he was not attributed with saying these words, and then later he became attributed. At one moment he's attributed with saying a letter, at another moment he's attributed with saying another letter, and a third moment he's attributed with saying a third letter which is not the letter which was before it, etc. They don't care about that. They don't care. They know certain statements, they memorize them, they say them like a parrot, they say contradictive matters. For them, they don't care. And if you tell them, well, what are you saying? This contradicts the other statement. They tell you, you need to believe in that, you need to believe in that. Just as it is. Well, some people following other religions say the same thing. When you tell them, these two matters are contradictive, they tell you, you need to believe in that, just like that. They are doing the same. The Wahhabis do the same. Otherwise, how would one accept, as they say, that Allah, they say Allah descends in the second part of the night from the sky to the first, from the seventh heaven to the first sky. Where every moment in every part of the earth, the middle of the night starts. Every moment. So according to them, Allah is going down and up, or they don't know what they say. Huh? هذه مكتوب
على اليوتيوب.
أعوذ بالله. حاج علي is saying, when Al-Albani was faced by that, he said, well, when we are in a tight situation, we know how to manage to get out of it. Allah knows how to get out of it.
كل واحد بيدبر حاله.
كل واحد بيدبر حاله على زعمه. He knows how to manage to make it work. This is what he said. Yeah, crazy people. Exactly. Some years ago, I told you this before. A few years ago, they took a few students from here to Saudi Arabia to study in the University of the Wahhabis there. So they told them, a few American students, alhamdulillah, these students had open minds. So when they were there, they told them, Allah descends, as they say. So they responded, well, this does not make sense, because every moment, the middle of the night, starts in one area of the earth. So according to your statement, Allah is all the time getting down, up, down, up, down, up. What are you saying? And then the next day or the day after that, they came up to, yani they agreed together to get back to the States. They didn't want to continue studying. And they went back. So alhamdulillah, they had open minds. Allah protected them from their evil. شو بدأ عبد الجليل كان من صدقت لو قلت لهم هذا لا يؤثر شيئا. وإذا لم يكن هناك قلب يفهم كما قال الشاعر, لقد أسمعت لو ناديت حيا ولكن لا حياة لمن تنادي. فيكم هل صحيح؟ طيب قال رحمه الله, ونقول إن الله اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا وكلم الله موسى تكليما إيمانا وتصديقا وتسليما. The author said, we say in faith, belief and submission, certainly Allah chose Abraham, that is, for a Khalil, and spoke unto Musa, alayhi salam. معناه الله أخبر في القرآن أنه اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا، فنصدق نحن بذلك. This means Allah mentioned in Al-Quran that Ibrahim عليه السلام, Prophet Ibrahim, was Khalilullah. We believe in that. معنى الخليل الذي له مرتبة القرب والكرامة عند الله. خليل means, خليلullah means the one who has a high status and honored by Allah تبارك وتعالى. This is what خليل means. This is a specific status that Prophet Ibrahim got, عليه السلام, reached. Allah gave it to him. كذلك جاء في القرآن وكلم الله موسى تكليما فنصدق بذلك. Likewise, it is mentioned in Al-Quran that Allah made Musa alayhi salam hear his eternal kalam. We believe in that. وقد أكد الفعل كلم بالمصدر تكليما في هذه الآية. وما ذاك إلا لنفي المجاز. This verb, وما ذاك إلا لنفي المجاز. فيكون المعنى تأكيد أن موسى عليه السلام سمع كلام الله الذاتي وليس كلاما مخلوقا في مخلوق من المخلوقات. أنت تقول كلمت فلانا، ظاهر الأمر أنك أسمعته كلامك الذي قام بك، لكن مع قرينة من القرائن قد تقول كلمت فلانا في هذا الأمر وتكون أرسلت رسالة إليه. ففي الحقيقة هو ما سمع كلامك القائم بك، مع ذلك يقال كلمته. فهنا إطلاق الكلام على الرسالة المرسلة إليه، على إرسالك الرسالة إليه، هذا مجاز. قد يكلمك شخص في أمر فتشير برأسك أن نعم، أو تشير برأسك أن لا. من باب المجاز يطلق على هذه الإشارة كلام. لكن إذا أرسلت رسالة إلى إنسان أو أشرت برأسك أو بيدك فلا تقول عند ذلك، على حسب لغة العرب، لا تقول عند ذلك كلمته تكليما، لأنك إذا أكدت الفعل بالمصدر معنى ذلك نفي المجاز. فيصح أن تقول قال فلان بيده نعم، ولا يصح أن تقول قال فلان بيده قولا أن نعم، لأنك إذا أكدت الفعل بالمصدر فقد نفيت المجاز. في هذه الآية الفعل مؤكد بالمصدر، فإذا لا يكون المعنى إلا أن موسى سمع كلام الله القائم بذاته سبحانه، ولا يصح ما قاله المعتزلة من أنه سمع كلاما قائما في شجرة. Now I'll try to say that in English. You know what the Mu'tazila said. Al-Mu'tazila said, we say about Allah mutakallim, not in the meaning that the eternal kalam is, Allah is attributed with the eternal speech. Rather, we say about Allah mutakallim in the meaning that He created speech in certain creations. In the Arabic language, you might say about someone that takallama, he spoke without actually him mentioning anything, but by doing a sign, for example, sending a letter or the like. This would not be the original meaning of kalam in Arabic. Rather, it would be called majaz. Do you remember? We talked yesterday about it. Other than the original meaning. If there is a sign that indicates that, you can use this term in that context. So if someone asks you, do I come in? And then you do like this with your hand. What does this mean? Come in. This might be in Arabic called kalam. So it is right to say in Arabic, qala biyadihi na'am. If you want to translate it literally, it would be, he said with his hand, yes. Okay? But in the Arabic language, if you confirm the verb that you use with another word, which is the origin, it's called masdar of this verb, then it cannot mean other than the original meaning. Period. It cannot mean other than the original meaning. For example, the masdar of qala is qawlan. So, qala means said. Its origin, if you want, in the Arabic language, there is a word which is called masdar. In English, masdar means source. Its masdar is the word qawlan, which means saying. You cannot say in Arabic, qala biyadihi na'am, qala biyadihi qawlan na'am. You cannot say in the, or qala biyadihi qawlan. You cannot say in Arabic, he said with his hand a saying. Or you can't use that. Because once you confirm the verb with this word called masdar, then that's it. You mean the original meaning. Now in this verse, you have the verb kallama, and you have the masdar taklima, mentioned in the same verse. This verb is confirmed with this masdar. So, it cannot bear any meaning other than the meaning that Musa heard the eternal speech that Allah is attributed with. It cannot mean that Musa heard a speech that was created in a tree or in something else, as the Mu'tazila or others might say. Is it clear? Kind of? Yeah. If you learn Arabic language, that makes it easier to clarify certain issues. Or is it clear? So this verse in Al-Quran clearly indicates that Allah is attributed with the attribute of Al-Kalam, and that Musa heard this attribute, this eternal attribute of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Qala rahimahullah, ونؤمن بالملائكة والنبيين والكتب المنزلة على المرسلين ونشهد أنهم كانوا على الحق المبين. The author said, we believe in the angels, prophets, and books revealed to the messengers. We profess that they, that is the prophets and the messengers, were on the path of undeniable truth. في الشرع جاء إثبات الملائكة فيجب علينا الإيمان بهم. رأيناهم أو لم نرهم. In the religious text, the angels are mentioned. It is mentioned that they exist. So we have to believe in them, whether in their existence, whether we see them or we do not see them. فَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُمْ أَجْسَامٌ لَطِيفَةٌ لَهَا أَرْوَاحٌ. So we believe that they are unpalpable bodies that have souls in them. الملائكة يوجدون في المكان ولا يحس بهم الشخص. كثيرا بل يكون وجودهم ألطف من الهواء. يعني the air is unpalpable, still you sense the air sometimes. The angels, they might be in the place and you might not sense their existence at all. So they are even
intangible.
You might say thinner than the air. وَهُمْ يَتَصَرَّفُونَ عَلَى حَسَبِ أَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They do whatever Allah تبارك وتعالى orders them to do. قال أبو حفص الغزنوي وليسوا بنجوم مسخرة ولا بأنفس فلكية كما ذهب إليه طائفة من أهل الزائر. One of the scholars said, they are not stars, they are not good thoughts, they are not they are not planets, they are bodies that have souls in them and that do whatever Allah orders them to do. كان في مصر واحد يدعي العلم مشهور لا أذكر اسمه لا أريد أن أذكر اسمه كان يقول الملائكة هي الخواطر الحسنة والشياطين هي الخواطر الرديئة هذا مكذب للدين قوله هذا رد للدين In Egypt there was a famous person, I don't want to mention his name. He used to say, the angels are the good thoughts and the devils are really the bad thoughts. So he claimed there are no creatures with souls that are devils and there are no creatures with souls that are angels. This is kufr. This is belying the religion. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهِ They do not disobey Allah تبارك وتعالى وَمَا رُوِيَ عَنْ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ أَنَّهُمَا شَرِبَا خَمْرًا وَقَتَلَا طِفْلًا وَسَجَدَا لِصَنَمٍ كَذِبْ لَا يَصِحْ وَزَنَيَا And what is narrated from Harut and Marut that they drank wine, killed a little child, committed a zina, and prostrated to an idol is a lie. No one among the angels does that. وهم موكلون بأعمال شتى منهم من هو موكل بقبض الروح منهم من هو موكل بالنبات منهم من هو موكل بالمطر منهم من هو موكل بالريح منهم من هو موكل بحمايتنا من أذى الجن لولا ذلك لكان الجن تلاعب بنا كالكرة لهم وظائف منهم من هو موكل بكتابة الحسنات منهم من هو موكل بكتابة السيئات لهم وظائف شتى The angels has different assignments. Some of them they take care of the rain. Some of them they take care of the wind. Some of them take care of the plants, some of them take care of us. They protect us from the harm of the jinn. Without their protection, the jinn can play with us as one would play with a ball. They see us, we do not see them. But the angels protect us from their harm. Some of them write the good deeds, some of them write the bad deeds. So they have different assignments. فيجب علينا الإيمان بالملائكة ويجب الإيمان بالأنبياء. We have to believe in the angels, we have also to believe in the prophets. وكلهم معصومون. من الكفر والفسوق والتحريف والتبديل All of them are clear from committing blasphemy, from committing enormous sins, from perverting what is revealed to them. All of them are clear of all of that. ويجب علينا الإيمان بالكتب السماوية We have to believe in the revealed books. وذكر الطحاوي أن الكتب السماوية تنزل على المرسلين فبين يريد بذلك أن النبي غير الرسول لا ينزل عليه كتاب إنما نزول الكتب على المرسلين الطحاوي mentioned this is his opinion, that the revealed books are revealed to the prophets who are messengers. And the prophets who are not messengers do not receive revealed books. ويجب علينا أن نشهد أن كل الأنبياء كانوا على الحق وأن نؤمن بهم كلهم كلهم. We have to believe that all the prophets were truthful and to believe in all of them. فلا نكذب بأحد منهم. We do not belie anyone among the prophets. ونقف هنا. Let us stop here for now. والله تعالى أعلم. ما شاء الله. الآن يعني لا نأخذ ولا أخذ أسئلة. I will not take questions now. I will not. لأنكم يعني لأن هناك سؤالا كثر الكلام فيه الذي هو متعلق بأمر السفر والجمع والقصر في السفر. هذا كل يعني دائما بيطلع لنا because there is a matter, a question that many among you are asking, which pertains to traveling and how to join prayers, combine prayers and shorten prayers while traveling. This is something that I don't know why. It always comes up. No, I know why. I know. Because some people did not understand properly this case, and they used to talk about it without really understanding its meaning, يعني, how it is. This is why they committed mistakes, and these mistakes spread. So whenever someone says the case in the proper way, other people are confused because this is not what they heard. So they start to ask to be more sure. That's why it keeps coming up. طيب خلونا ما في حاجة أظن. Let us explain this matter. هلا إذا كان واحد في بلد مثلا خلوني أستعمل مثلا أي مدينة بتكون مونتريال. طيب مونتريال ونيويورك وفيلادلفيا. Let me ما جي على بالي يا حاج. هلا إذا لقينا فشكلت برسم على اللوح, بس إذا ماشي الحال ما في حاجة. Let me use for the example, cities of Montreal, New York, and Philadelphia. شخص مقيم في خلونا Montreal, Philadelphia, Washington D.C. Let me use Montreal, Philadelphia, and Washington D.C. مثلا واحد سكنه في Montreal. جاء إلى فيلادلفيا ونيته أن يقعد في فيلادلفيا أقل من 4 أيام صحاح كوامل غير يومي الدخول والخروج. من مونتريال إلى فيلادلفيا يوجد مسافة قصر, يجوز له أن يقصر الصلاة وأن يجمع بين الظهر والعصر كما بين المغرب والعشاء. If someone travels from Montreal to Philadelphia, he wants to stay, he lives in Montreal, he wants to stay in Philadelphia less than 4 complete days, other than the day of entry and day of exiting. So he wants to stay 3 days or less than that. Philadelphia is not his hometown. So he comes to Philadelphia, he has the intention to stay there for less than 4 days. Between Montreal and Philadelphia, there is a distance of Qasr. So it is permissible for this person to shorten the prayers. So to pray al-zuhur, 2 rak'ahs, al-asr, 2 rak'ahs, and al-isha, 2 rak'ahs, and to join between al-zuhur and al-asr, likewise al-maghrib and al-isha. If this person comes from Montreal to Philadelphia, and he wants to stay in Philadelphia, let's say 15 hours, and then he wants to go from Philadelphia to somewhere where his motel, where he wants to spend the night. There is a distance of 20 miles, if you want, between Philadelphia, where the buildings end, the ending of the buildings, and this hotel, there is a distance of 20 miles. So he comes from Montreal to Philadelphia. He spends 15 hours in Philadelphia. He can join the prayers, can't he? He can, okay. Then he is intending to keep going to that place, which is 20 miles away from the ending of the buildings. So he goes there. He is planning to spend the night there and going back the next day to Philadelphia. طيب. If he spends the night there, still it is less than 3 days. مهيك. For the night. إذا بده يقضي الليلة بهالأوتيل ويرجع على فيلادلفيا تاني يوم. الليلة مش أقل من 3 أيام؟ أقل. فإذا يجوز له أن يجمع ويقصر هناك. So it is permissible for him to join the prayers and shorten them in this hotel. Now, the second day, he goes back to Philadelphia. اليوم الثاني يرجع إلى فيلادلفيا. الآن ينشئ سفرا جديدا لأنه من الفندق إلى فيلادلفيا سفر هذا سفر منه طويل بس سفر الآن ينشئ سفرا جديدا لأنه يرجع من الطريق التي قدم منها فهو ينشئ سفرا جديدا يرجع إلى المكان الذي كان فيه في اليوم السابق فهو ينشئ سفرا جديدا من هذا المكان الفندق إلى هذه المدينة. Now the next day he goes back from this hotel to Philly, which means he is starting a new travel. He is not anymore continuing the travel of that he started in Montreal. Now he is going back from the same way that he arrived, or he is going back to the town where he was yesterday. The previous day, there he was. So he is going back now. So this is a new travel. إن لم يكن في نيته ونيته أن يبقى في فيلادلفيا 15 ساعة. His intention is to stay in Philly for 15 hours. إن لم تكن نيته أن يذهب بعد ذلك إلى مكان بحيث تصير المسافة من الفندق إلى هذا المكان مسافة قصر فإنه في فيلادلفيا لا يجوز له أن يجمع ويقصر، لأن المسافة من الفندق إلى فيلادلفيا، إذا كانت نيته فقط إلى فيلادلفيا ثم يرجع إلى الفندق وهكذا، المسافة من الفندق إلى فيلادلفيا إلى ابتداء البنيان يعني 20 ميلا لا أكثر، وهذه المسافة ليست مسافة قصر، فلا يجوز له أن يجمع ويقصر. Now, if he does not want to continue after arriving to Philly to somewhere in a way that the distance from the hotel and that place would be a distance of travel, he just wants to go to Philly, spend 15 hours and then goes back to the hotel. In this case, he is not entitled to join prayers and make al-qasr in Philly, because this is a short distance. It is a distance of travel, but it is a short one. It does not allow him to make al-qasr and al-jama'ah. So he does not do that. واضح؟ Is it clear? هاي المسألة. So this is the case. شي حاجة. قصير يعني منو طويل حاجة. هو بدك تشوف أنت امتداد العمران، يعني فيلادلفيا هلأ صار العمران ممتد، يعني بحيث أنه يمكن المطار بيطلع بقعة ما فيها بناء بس ضمن البلد صار. أنا هيك أظن، بدك أنت تفحص، بس العمران ممتد، يعني شفت إذا بتروح عمان ممتد صار تاع فيلادلفيا، قد يتصل إلى ميديا كله من غير انقطاع وإلى غيره كمان، يعني إلى مسافة يمكن ما بعرف 30 ميل أو 20 ببعض، يمكن بعض النواحي 30 ميل يمكن من غير انقطاع. بدك تشوف نحن إذا امتد العمران خلص صارت، إذا كان عندك بلدان امتد عمرانهما واتصلتا صارتا كبلد واحدة في هذا الأمر. If there are two towns and the buildings they spread until the buildings became connected, then these two towns are considered now as if they are one town. They have the judgment of one town. So actually, if you look at Philadelphia now, maybe you can go 30 miles and still in certain directions, and still the buildings, there is no interruption of buildings. So you would consider all this area as if it is Philly, or even if it is called the municipality of such and such, but as if it is Philly, all of it. نعم حاج. نعم. بالأخير هيدي واشنطن دي سي وجهته، لكن هلا هو غير، كان جاي من مونتريال وبده يروح إلى واشنطن دي سي مظبوط، وبده يقعد بفيلادلفيا يومين، بس بعدين قال وين بده يقعد أنا في فيلادلفيا؟ خرج منها إلى مكان خارجها، فهون بيكون صارت وجهته لوين؟ لهالمكان. هلأ إذا كان هالمكان مش مثل بساتين البلد، يعني بحيث بعده يعد ضمن البلد، إذا كان خرج منها مثلا شو بعد 5 مايلز 10 مايلز أو نحو ذلك، إذا كان خرج من البلد إلى هذا المكان هلأ ورجع من هناك إلى هذا البلد، هذا رجوع سفر جديد حاج. إذا كان نيته يقعد بفلي أقل من 4 أيام ويكمل على واشنطن دي سي بيمشي الحال، أما إذا كان نيته يقعد بفلي يوم ويرجع هالأوتيل أو هالمحل، هذا سفر قصير ما في يجمع ويقصر بفيلادلفيا. أما إذا أنشأ سفر من المكان اللي هو فيه بنيو جيرسي وبده يكمل على واشنطن، يعني إجا من نيو جيرسي على فيلي ومن فيلي على واشنطن من غير ما يرجع بعدين من فيلي على المحل اللي بلش منه، كمل بقي بفيلي أقل من 3 أيام وكمل أقل من 4 أيام كمل إلى واشنطن دي سي، عند ذلك له أن يجمع ويقصد. أيوة نعم نعم طيب بالرجوع هو هيدا سفر جديد الرجوع، بس انت اللي نسي خليني راجع فيها، بس هو سفر جديد حاج. حاج العلماء بيقولوا مسافة حتى مسافة ميلين هي سفر، ايوه ما بيأثر هذا صحيح بلى صح. هيدي ما مذكر معي حاج، بس هو من حيث الأصل هذا سفر جديد، بس عم تقلي لأنه نسي أو نسي شيء أو برجع بسأل. أما لو فرضنا ما منشان نسي شغلي فهذا سفر جديد حاج، سفر جديد قصير لا يقصر ولا يجمع، هو هيك المسألة. شو يا أبو حسين وفيكم ما يعد في العرف أنه غير متصل. When we say interruption of buildings, it means what in the norm the buildings are considered not connected. بلى يظهر يا مرة سألت الشيخ أنا كنا مسافة شي 120 متر يمكن بين، قلت له هل هذا يعد انقطاع؟ قال لي نعم. هل هذا يعد انقطاع؟ قال لي نعم، ما يعد في العرف انقطاعا بس قد يكون محاطا بالأبنية. قلت له قد يكون محاطا بالأبنية، انت شوف فحصل فيكم. نهم منه عند الشافعية لا يعتبرونه حائلا، ما بيعتبروه انقطاع النهب. اللي نهب عرضه مثلا 5 كيلو 7 كيلو ما بح. بس النهب مثل الأنهار اللي عادة لا يعدونها، مثل نهر النيل ونهر الفرات نهر دجلة ومثل الأنهار اللي بتشوفها هنا لا يعدونها انقطاعا. شافعية هيك بيقولوا، الحنفية، بس الحنفية صار عندهم بقى شيء تاني ما بتجمع، يعني بدك تشوف شو الأحكام التي عند الحنفية بقى. All these questions about this issue, we're not talking about anything else. So don't think, يعني تفضل نبيل. Just we need to clarify this case, I think. لمين؟ إذا كان بحيث اتصل العمان كأنه بلد واحد، خلص بلد واحد حكمه. لو مشي 50 كيلومتر منه سفر. هل هناك أيوة، هل أنشأ سفرا قصيرا جديدا أو لا؟ هون المسألة تدور على هذا. أنت عم تقول في أنا ماني فاحص هيك، عم أقول لك أنا ما رأيت، أنا ما لاحظت. طيب شو بدي أقول لك يا نبيل؟ وصدقني ما شفت، ما انتبهت. نعم. خلاص انتهى. مجرد ما نوى الإقامة أكثر من 3 أيام امتنع عليه القصر والجمع. خلاص. هني بيقولوا اتصال البناء الأبنية المتخذة للسكن، هيك بيذكروا الفقهاء، ليس لغير ذلك. إذا كان الشخص نيته ليست نيته الذهاب إلى واشنطن، بتكون ليست نيته الذهاب إلى هناك. الأمر ليس بالكلام، الأمر بالنية بالقلب. بس قد يكون حاج أنه له غرض هناك، لو كان يعني يريد أن يقضي الدورة كلها، لكن قد يكون له غرض هو يريده. قد نعم. ما بيأثر إذا راح، إذا كان ذهب إلى مسافة قصر ثم رجع من هناك إلى البلد، برجوعه هذا سفر، صار مسافرا ونيته أن يبقى في هذا البلد أقل من 4 أيام ثم يكمل إلى مونتريال مثلا، هذا يجوز له أن يجمع ويقصر، ما في مشكل. لأنه قاصد هو حقيقة نوى الرجوع إلى فيلادلفيا ثم الإكمال إلى مونتريال، حقيقة ينوي ذلك وما في إشكال. What's considered? Buildings? Okay, a highway, a road, a river are not considered something that interrupts the buildings. These things are not considered some things that interrupt the continuation of the buildings. If the one wants to stay 3 days or less in Philly while having the intention to continue to Washington, D.C., for example, then it's okay. One can make qasr and jama'. Okay, let's take only these two questions and stop. Allah yubarik fikum for now. You need to eat, to pray. Said, I need also to do few things before the next class. Allah yukrimukum. For the Hanafi school, they consider half of a month, 15 days. For 15 days, you can shorten the prayers, but you cannot join them if the conditions are satisfied. No, the Hanafi school, they do not join the prayers when they travel. Rather, they shorten them, the Hanafis. They don't join the prayers, they shorten them. Barakallahu feekum. Nuhallil. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه بارك الله فيكم.